Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben, there is so much going on everywhere in the world, and the Players is a very interesting tournament. I mean, it's really exciting. Have you been watching? I hope so, because the game is on. But I've got, you want to play a round of golf? Of course you do. You've been watching television, seeing these guys play. So at Makalei, there's an 852 that's on Hawaii Island, a 916 and a 1008. And the Ducks are going out. Okay, and there's also at Volcano Golf Club where it's 54 degrees. Yes, it's on the mountain. There's an 830, a 924, and a 1048. Kauai, we've got at Poipu, 840, 1040, 1150. On Oahu, Pearl Country Club, there's a 908, a 1048, and an 11 o'clock. Hawaii Kai, 852, 916, 1040. Turtle Bay has an 830, kind of soon, 932, 1010. The Wind Warriors are headed out there. That's how everybody's going to feel this weekend at the Players, like Wind Warriors. All right, Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 836 and a 928. Eva Beach has a 9 o'clock, a 9:52, and a 10:46. Bayview, 8:38, 9:38, and a 10:08. And Wailea on the Gold Course, there's an 8:50, 9:20, 10:30. The Switch Hitters are playing today. Emerald, 9:20, 11:20, 12:20. And the Blue Course is a 10:40 and an 11:40 and a 12:30. Meanwhile, at Kapalua, oh, yes, the Docks on Call are playing at Kapalua. There's a 12-12. So the Doctors on Call, the Switch Hitters, Wind Warriors, the Ducks, may you all hit the sweet spot every time. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Got a really good show for you. We got Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, author, Vision 54 Trilogy. We've got Eric Belmonte, assistant PGA professional at the Princeville Mackay Golf Course. Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire. He's with us. I think he's somewhere on the East Coast. He's going to end up in Havana. This guy is always on the move. And Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, NBC and Golf Channel. He's at the Players. But first, before we get into the show, need to let you know, the Windward and Mauka showers are with us again, partly to mostly cloudy. Showers are likely. Leeward side, partly cloudy, isolated showers. Evenings, nights, mornings, scattered showers each afternoon. A slight chance of thunderstorms. Windward, Saturday night, high today, 78. The high today between 78 and 83. The low, 67 to 72. Now, here are the winds. East to southeasterlies, 5 to 15. Daytime sea breezes, overnight land breezes. And that's what's going on in the world. We're going to come back with Ron Cyrak right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding, banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, master teaching professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever.
Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award, LPGA Media Excellence Award, and author Vision 54 Trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen, including Play Your Best Golf Now. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle, always a pleasure. Always a thrill to be on.
Thank you so much for being here. And with the players, what's your feel?
You know, well, first off, every year I love that golf course more. I started going there. I'll tell you how long ago I started going there. the first players that I covered, Bernard Langer was the runner up. You know, and he's only been on the senior tour for about 200 years now. So that'll tell you how long ago that was. But that's it's a great golf course. It's evolved brilliantly over time. They're always tweaking it. It always gets better. And they've got a fascinating leaderboard there. You know, Minwoo Lee, Minji Lee's brother, is somebody who's going to have some wins someday up there. And of course, you got Rory in the mix again, and you wonder whether he's setting himself up for more heartbreak. And one of the players that I'm really fascinated with is Akshay Bhatia, you know, who's 20, this young left-hander who weighs about 14 pounds out there and just slams the ball so hard. So it's a great leaderboard on a great golf course.
Right, you know, yes. And then there's Colin Morikawa. And did you happen to see that? You know, he was a little bit angry, fired back at critics after the post-round media snub at the PGA Tour, on PGA Tour, rather. Colin Morikawa used his post-round media during day two of the Players' Championship to hit back at those who criticized him for declining interviews at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Gee whiz, guys. I mean, that was then, this is now. Why would you go backwards? What was your sense as a journalist?
Yeah, well, first off, you know, as a journalist, you always want people to talk. You know, also as a journalist and as a human being, you got to understand when players don't feel like talking. And it happens sometimes. I remember, I'll give you two real good examples of this. And one is at the Avion tournament a long time ago, Julie Inkster came down the stretch. She three-putted the last two holes to lose by one stroke. And I was like the only American journalist there. You know, we're right on Lake Geneva. And I'm walking up to Julie to ask her a question after the round. And I get about 15 feet away from her. And she points at me and says, "Give me 10 minutes, Ron." And she did. She needed 10 minutes to regroup. And once she got calmed down a little bit, then she answered everything. But you don't always feel like you want to talk. Colin's always been very, very cooperative with the media. I thought he was unfairly criticized on this. I used to do media counseling and rookie orientation on the LPGA. One of the things I'd say to players is, when you shoot 67, everyone's going to want to talk to you, and you're going to want to talk. But when you shoot 76, you're not going to want to talk. But what you got to learn is, better to take 2 minutes today to talk than take 20 minutes tomorrow to explain why you didn't talk the day before. And that's the situation Morikawa put him in.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I thought it was unfair, very much so. I mean, if you have an off day, you know, and then you have to bring it into the players. Here he had a bad time, and then now he's at the players. He's not doing poorly. He's doing okay. But, you know, you just don't want to bring that from the past into the present. It's like, gee whiz. I want to forget about it.
Yeah, but, you know, but as a player, though, it's important to remember that, you know, as journalists, we don't need much from you. You know, give us two sentences. Just give us something that we could put in our story.
Yes.
So really, even though you may be really angry and really disappointed and sad and everything about how you just performed, if you just take 2 minutes to talk, it all goes away. But it's hard to maintain that perspective when you're a player who's let a tournament slip away from you.
Yes, and that is
it. Millions of dollars slip away from you.
Mm-hmm. You have a certain dream in your mind of how the thing's going to play out today, and then everything goes awry. You know, you're like, wait a second, I've lost
but
my bearings.
But you know what else this shows, Danielle, is all of this shows that golf season is really kicking into high gear now. You know, that we have the Players coming up. The Masters is looming out there. The LPGA is going to be starting its major soon. And you see that in the Players. I think there's an added level of intensity on all the players out there because we're really getting into where the season heats up and the real big money, big prestige events are looming.
Yes, Absolutely. And, you know, when you said the LPGA is going to begin their majors. So, and, you know, the LPGA is playing, but we just hear so little about it. Like Ryo Takeda of Japan shot an 8-under-64 in China, winning her second LPGA title. And this goes on to explain. It's classified as a Rolex first-time winner because, I mean, she is classified as a Rolex first-time winner because she didn't accept immediate LPGA Tour membership offered after her first victory, which was the Toto Japan Classic. It kind of makes you a little crazy, you know, all these different angles.
And she's won 8 times in on the Japan LPGA, too.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's what you said is exactly true. It's this hiccup stop start beginning of the LPGA season is problematic. You know, they start with 2 events in Florida, take several weeks off, then they go to Thailand, Singapore, China, and then take some more time off, and now they come back. Well, starting the next week, I guess, they will then go to Arizona, Las Vegas, California, and then that springboard them into the Chevron Championship in Texas for the first major of the year. But now the season will really get going without any significant breaks in here, and it'll be a chance for it'll be a chance to build up enthusiasm among the fans.
Yeah.
You know? And to watch what they're doing, and you look these I was going through the first 5 winners of the year: Ryo Takeda, Lydia Ko, Angel Yin, Yulimi No, A-Lin Kim. The oldest of those, A-Lin Kim, is 29 years old. But the rest, I mean, Lydia Ko, it's hard to believe that she's a 23-time winner. She's 27 years old.
Wow.
But all of those players, they're 21, 27, 26, 23, 29.
Wow.
That bodes very well for the talent base the LPGA's got right now. And we're not even talking yet about Nelly being in the mix with them.
Exactly. I couldn't help but think, as you were talking, that if they were to start in the States and generate, you know, just interest in getting, the LPGA's playing, and then they would go maybe to China or Japan or wherever else they want to go, and then come back to the States, it'd be easier to follow what's going on. Just a thought.
Yeah, no, you know, that the Asia swing, and they have an Asia swing both the beginning of the year and then the end of the year, are hugely, hugely, hugely important to the LPGA for several different reasons. One is a revenue stream, no question about it. It's still the largest single revenue stream for the LPGA is Korean TV money.
Wow.
So it's part of the LPGA's identity, golf's global tour. It truly is an international tour. The last I checked, I think there were 27 different countries with players on the LPGA. And it just expands the talent base so much, you know, and so many great players coming from so many different countries adding to that talent pool. So the Asia swing's really important. The challenge is the time zone difference, you know. It's the tournaments are being played, if you live on the East Coast, where I do, are being played in the middle of the night. When I was writing about it for the magazine, I loved it because it ended at Sunday morning, gave me all day to write my story before my Monday deadline.
Right.
But basically, to follow it on television, to follow it in any sort of way, in any sort of media, the time zone difference is a challenge in there, and it's hard for people to, you feel like you're always a day behind the event.
Yeah. Yeah, I am really, really impressed with the LPGA pace of play changes. The Ladies Professional Golf Association announced the creation of a new pace of play policy. Have you been reading on that? I'm sure you have.
Yeah, you know, the LPGA has always been more aggressive on the pace of play issue than the PGA Tour has. And to the best of my knowledge, the last time penalty strokes were issued on the PGA Tour for a slow play violation was 1995. You know, and the LPGA does it. I remember I've been at at Turtle Bay when the season opened up there, and I remember somebody getting a two-stroke penalty on the back nine on Sunday. I remember Morgan Pressel losing a match in the match play tournament because she had a hole that she had won on the, taken away from her for a slow play penalty. So they've always been more aggressive on the LPGA in issuing penalties. PGA Tour likes to do fines. Well, you know, a $1,000, $10,000 fine for players, the amount of money they make is not that big of a deal. But a two-stroke penalty could cost you $200,000. It could cost you $1 million if it means winning a tournament or not winning a tournament. And so that, being aggressive about that and issuing penalties is a really huge positive step.
Yeah, well, it is. And going 1 to 5 seconds over time, there's a fine.
Yep.
6 to 15 seconds, it's a one-stroke penalty. 16 seconds or more, it's a two-stroke penalty. 10-second allowance changes. The first to hit on par fours and fives will no longer receive an additional 10 seconds except on the reachable par fours. And the first to hit on par threes, approach shots and putts, will still receive the extra 10 seconds. It's just, you know, they're really going to, they're cracking down and after already cracking down on everyone. And I wish the PGA Tour would, because it's ridiculous.
You know, it's going to push the PGA Tour to really crack down on it. And I thought of this, it was during the Torrey Pines tournament out there, and in the TV broadcast on Sunday, Dottie Pepper complained about slow play. She said something, she said, I don't, this is ridiculous, so you got to do something about this. I'm thinking in my mind, Dottie's not saying that unless she's run it by her producer. So I think TV networks are starting to get in the ear of the tours and saying, you got to do something about pace of play, because sometimes tournaments run over the TV window, you know, and sometimes they got to jump from a network back to Golf Channel, or they got to push back the local news, you know, and they don't like to do that. TV wants golf to end in a reliable TV window. And not have to worry about running over it. And so I think, you know, and I don't know exactly where the TV contracts for all the tours are right now, but I would guess the next negotiations, that hitting that TV window is going to be a huge part of the discussions.
Yeah, and I hope so, because I think the pace of play on the PGA Tour with all the, you know, ignoring the fact that you should be done already. What are you standing there talking with your caddy for still?
Well, enough of that. One of the things that drives me absolutely crazy, Danielle, is when all of a sudden it's a player, it's like they're surprised that it's their turn to hit. You know, it's like that they start their whole, I mean, some of that preparation routine you can be doing while the other person's hitting. You should be certainly deciding what club you're going to hit and what your target is and stuff like that is something you don't need to wait until it's your turn to hit to start thinking about that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Annika Sorenstam was one of the most disciplined players. She is the most disciplined player I've ever covered. She was also an extremely fast player because she was organized. She had a 25-second total shot routine, but over the ball, she was 4 to 9 seconds.
Wow.
Boy, once she took her stance, she would look at the target, look at her ball, boom, the ball's gone.
Seems to me that that's a smarter way to play, too.
Well, you know, part of what Pia and Lynn teach you is the longer you stand over the ball, the more likely doubt is to creep into your mind and the more likely tension is to creep into your body. Once you've made all your decisions and you leave the play box or you leave the think box and step into the play box, just make visual contact with the target and let the club fly. You know, the more you freeze over the ball, the more bad things can happen.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Too much stinking thinking starts going into the whole process. Now, I mentioned the book in the very beginning, and there's a trilogy of books on with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen. Which one would you start with?
Well, every shot must have a purpose. Is the first one we did, and this, in fact, is the 20th anniversary of Every Shot Must Have a Purpose. Came out in September of 2005. It's still selling. In fact, about a week ago, Bill Murray, the actor of Caddyshack fame and Ghostbusters and a bunch of other things, Bill Murray went on the Joe Rogan podcast. And he spent 8 minutes talking about Every Shot Must Have a Purpose.
Wow!
And it's right now, it is sold out on Amazon, and they're printing more copies to get it out there. But that's the book to start with. Every Shot is the book that that really lays out the whole Vision 54 school of thought and the philosophy of Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen, which, you know, I'm totally biased, but I think they are two just really pioneers in the breakthrough in the approach to coaching the game of golf.
Yeah, right on. I always use play your best golf now because it has this catch to it, you know. Really? If I read this, I'll play my best golf?
It's all about the title, Danielle. It's all about the title.
Yeah, and I just have to ask you something. The PGA Tour has been kind of lax, to put it mildly, when it comes to penalties and fines and what have you on guys going over time. When it comes to the Masters and the PGA Championship and the U.S. Open and the Open, or British Open, do they give all these guys as much room to play around?
They're a little more aggressive. I'm trying to think. I don't know the last time I saw an actual stroke penalty in a major championship, but they're certainly more aggressive about putting players on the clock. You know, those events aren't run by the PGA Tour. They're run by the USGA, the R&A, the PGA of America, Augusta National Golf Club. They do tend to be a little bit more aggressive there. But still, there is, you know, and I get it. There's this feeling that they don't want to annoy the players, and quite frankly, a big part of slow play in my mind, from, you know, as somebody who's started playing golf many, many decades ago, one of the things that changed is how intensely players are coached now. And you see so many times they have such elaborate pre-shot routines that you know, you just want to scream, you know, hit the ball. And it's the drawn out nature of those pre-shot routines. And again, as I said, and Annika was the great example, but Pia and Lynn teach you be organized, but be quick, you know, be ready to go. You know, like one of the other things I like to point out is playing around the golf, you're only spending about 30 minutes actually hitting the golf ball. The rest of the time you're walking, you know, you're walking between shots. And just when it's your time to hit, take full advantage of it's only 30 seconds and or 30 minutes and get out there and do it quickly and don't linger over it.
Yeah, don't think too much. It'll get in your way. Gosh, it's so good talking with you. Time flies when you're having fun. Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, and, of course, author with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen. Vision 54, a trilogy, of course, and that includes the one that sold out. And so if you want one of these books, you're going to have to, well, the one book. Say it again.
Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, and they should have them back. They should be back available sometime this week. They're printing more copies.
That printing press is rolling. Thank you so much, Ron.
Talk to you down the road, my friend.
Aloha. We're going to come back. We've got Eric Belmonte. He is a Aloha Section PGA Golf of the Year Assistant Golf Professional. Of the year. He was awarded that. I was there. It's such a wonderful event that everybody gets, you know, star treatment. It's really nice. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
You know, when it rains and the sun comes out and everything, flora and fauna, just grows. Well, that's the beauty of rain and sun, right? We need it. Yeah, but it means that you're going to have to go out there and get it under control. So, hey, it's our rainy day riding mower sale at Aloha Power Equipment. So whether you're a homeowner and you don't need a really big one, you know, a little nice mower will do just fine, or you're a landscaper, or you're taking care of a golf course, we've got the riding mowers waiting here for you at Aloha Power Equipment. And don't forget the accessories. From mowing to mulching to bagging, yeah, we make yard work easy. Mow it, auto bag it, and done. Remember, it's still fire season. We need to protect ourselves and others with the best tools around. And if you live on a neighbor island, no worries. We ship off island just for you. New shipments rolling in daily. It's Aloha Power's Rainy Day Riding Mower Sale in Iwile next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Eric Belmonte, assistant golf professional at Princeville Makai Golf Course, Princeville, Hawaii, and Aloha Section PGA's 2024 Assistant Golf Professional of the Year. And the term, I had to look it up, assistant golf professional shall refer to an individual who is primarily employed at a PGA-recognized golf facility and spends at least 50% of the time working on club repair, merchandising, handicap records, inventory control, bookkeeping, and tournaments. Of course, welcome into the clubhouse, Eric.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. And what's the weather like on Kauai?
Well, it was raining earlier this morning, but it's clear. It's clearing up. Definitely, it's going to be a great day. We have the high school matches today.
Which high schools are playing?
All four. We have Kapa'a, Kauai High, Waimea, and Island School.
Wow, fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, and congratulations on your award, Assistant Golf Professional of the Year. That's fantastic. And Aloha Section PGA's 2024 Assistant Golf Professional of the Year. Were you surprised?
I was. You know, when we arrived on the Big Island, we went We attended that tournament, the facility tournament on the Big Island, and our section president informed me that I won the award. I was definitely surprised.
One of those.
And it's an honor, you know, because
yes.
We have so many assistant golf professionals that, you know, deserve this award.
You do a lot. I had no idea that, you know, from repairing clubs to handicapping records, inventory, bookkeeping. You, do you have time to play golf?
Myself, no.
No.
You know, most golf professionals, they work a lot.
Yeah.
And we wear many hats. You know, for myself, I take care of the food and beverage department also.
So, whoa. Wow.
Yes.
That's a full-time job.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
How did you get into the game? Who taught you?
My dad. Actually, my dad right here at Principal Mackay, he played golf. And when we were little, my brother and I, we used to tag along with him and just ride in the cart. That's how I started.
Wow. That must be awesome to be in the place where your dad taught you how to play. That's like being home.
Yes, definitely. And you know, going back to the golf professionals, I mean, we're like family. I mean, the law section is really like family.
That's wonderful. I mean, it's a really tight-knit society. That's one of the beauties of being at the event where the awards were presented by the Aloha Section PGA and seeing all the camaraderie between the professionals at the tables and then, of course, the applause for the winners and all the kids that were also, you know, awarded their prizes after being in tournaments like the high schools right now on Kauai. So I wanted to know, you're at a really good golf course. Who is, good enough to play Princeville Mackay?
Everybody.
Really?
Everyone is good enough to play Mackay. You know, it's from the really good players, actually even from some of the PGA players, they play here. And goes all the way down to the beginners.
The beginners.
It's a fair golf course.
Wow, that's fantastic. But I also read about the Sunset Golf Cart Tour. What's that?
That's very popular. It's the afternoon Sunset Golf Cart Tour. It's a guided tour. They take a ride around the golf course, all 18 holes. We have different stops along the way where the tour guide speaks about the foliage, the birds, the mountain ranges, and then they end up on hole number 7 to watch the sunset.
Wow.
Very popular. You know, before, right now we limit the carts to about 12 to 16 carts, where previously, you know, we could get up to, you know, up to 30 to 40 golf carts that goes out.
Wow, yeah, it's like a crazy train.
Yes.
Running through the foliage. Wow, that is awesome. I want to do that. I want to come to Kauai and go on the Sunset Golf Cart Tour just to hear everything about it. Because do you have signature golf hole or golf holes?
We have a few. Actually, our main signature hole is number 7. That's the one that overlooks the ocean, right on the ocean bluff. Overlooks Bali High.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I've seen pictures.
Yes, definitely. That's our most popular signature hole.
And is that a par 3?
It is a par 3 that hits over the ocean.
Oh, and yeah.
From the back tees, it's about 217 yards all carry.
What about for those of us who might not be able to carry? Can we go around?
The other option is the forward tees. The forward tees, you actually don't hit over the ocean.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now I'm not scared anymore. We could be standing there for a long time, Eric, you know, as I hit one ball in the water followed by another ball. And then I'll just say, hey, just forget about it. I'll follow you guys.
Just pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah, if I could. It's in the drink, though. That's the problem.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
There's a lot of balls on there.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet there is. Oh, my goodness. So, and the awards that the Princeville Mackays received, amazing. I mean, number 7, best golf course in Hawaii.
Yes.
Number 64 on America's 100 greatest public golf courses. That's by Golf Digest.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful golf course.
Yeah. So it's a place to go. And now, was it redone? Robert Trent Jones Jr., he designed the course?
He did. He did. This was his first solo design golf course when back in 1971. You know,
71.
This is his first. So this is very, very important to him. He comes here a lot. Actually, he was just here.
Really?
He's still here on the island right now.
Wow. That is so cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And then, okay, so did it open in 71 or did he build it then?
It opened in 1971.
Fantastic.
We just did a renovation of the bunkers, redid all the bunkers, the cart path. So it's beautiful.
Yeah, that was my next question. I understand that there was a kind of a, not overhaul, but it was kind of a redo of some of the areas. So basically, why would you want to redo the bunkers?
Well, the bunkers, you know, it's been a few years since we renovated. We started renovating 2008, the last renovation, 2008 and 2009, and we reopened 2010. So it's been that long since we've done anything. So that's why the bunkers really needed some work. So we downsized a lot of the bunkers and also removed some of the bunkers.
Oh, why?
Yeah. Just that it needed work. You know, it needed work. We had a lot of bunkers that really we didn't need.
Yeah, I didn't need them. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And it can be confusing for those of us who don't get to play too often because we're working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And like yourself.
Well, yeah. I mean. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. You know, how often do you get to play? So much goes through my mind thinking about being at a golf course and being able to enjoy it. It's just awesome. It's just amazing. I love being on a course. Number 2, golf course in Hawaii by Golf Advisor. Number 46, top 200 resort courses in America by Golf Week. Top 5, public golf course in Hawaii, Golf Magazine. And now this is where my question is. Mauka Disc Golf.
Yes.
What?
I'm glad you asked. We have a disc golf course. It's called a Mauka Golf Course. 18 holes. We have 18 holes. Of course, we have two sets of tees. We have the long course and the short course. Previously, it was the woods. I'm not sure if you remember. It was the Woods 9 golf course.
I do.
We had 27 holes here.
Yeah.
We had the ocean, the lakes, and woods. So we turned the woods course into a disc golf course.
Now, disc, is that like a Frisbee?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes. It doesn't go as far as a regular Frisbee. But it's very popular. We've had a few disc golf tournament here. We've hosted a state tournament.
Well, state tournaments?
Yes.
Wow, I'd like to see that. That'd be a very interesting thing to see. And then you also have sunrise yoga.
We do have sunrise yoga every Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays on our signature hole number 7.
Oh, wow. Bali High, right in front of you. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have a tennis facility.
We do. A tennis and pickleball facility and a fitness, pool and fitness center.
Wow.
So we do everything here.
You do? I know. Well, see,
we do everything.
In a family, let's say a group goes out and somebody plays golf, but others don't. They want to play tennis. You know, and then there's maybe the whole family could go out for the disc golf or, you know, something just so that they can all, or the golf cart tour. And then they have the family experience. Well, when, you know, you can take care of the golf experience for, I don't want to be, you know, dad or mom, whoever wants to play, or the kids, because and dad or mom want to be in the pool soaking.
There you go.
It's wonderful. Oh, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much, Eric.
Danielle, it has been my pleasure. And you are invited, as always, anytime.
Oh, thank you so much. Eric Belmonte, assistant PGA professional, Princeville Mackay Golf Course, Princeville, Kauai. Absolutely spectacular. It's gorgeous. Thank you very much for being inside the golf clubhouse. Aloha.
Aloha, Danielle.
We're going to come back. Michael Patrick Shields is on the road again. Hollywood insider, radio talk show host, author, travel writer. He's host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields. He's based in Beverly Hills. He's my travel guru extraordinaire because the guy goes everywhere. So if you ever have a question about, like, what am I going to experience if I go here? Michael Patrick Shields is the person that you want to talk to. And you can go to Travel Tattler at the A position to see his photos, what he says about all of his destinations, you know, Ireland, Las Vegas. But, of course, Hawaii folks know everything about Las Vegas. It's our second home. Motor City, any of the 35 countries and countless visitor destinations around the world he's been at. We're going to have him inside the clubhouse, find out what he's up to now. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Eva side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Got my new book, Three Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Before we get to Michael Patrick Shields, I was thinking, you know, maybe like all of a sudden, you know, hearing so much about a golf course made you want to go out and play. On the Big Island of Hawaii, Makalei has a 10-08 and the Ducks are out. I don't think that's because they're raining. It's not like duck quack quacks. It's like guys who call themselves the Ducks. And, or maybe it's the ladies. All right. On Kauai at Poipu, there's an 840, a 1040, an 1150. If you'd like to get out on the golf course, the Wind Warriors, they're out playing at Turtle Bay. Yes, it could be windy today. 932, 1010. And let's see, Bayview has a 1008. We've got at Wailea, the Switch Hitters are playing. And on the Gold course, there's a 10:30, a 12:20 on the Emerald, and the 12:30 on the Blue course. And yes, the Doc's on call. They're playing Kapalua, and there's a 12:12 if you'd like to go out and play on Maui today. All right, let's bring him into the clubhouse. He is Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire, author, Less Than Torrid Tales, host Michigan's Big Show. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael.
Happy St. Patrick's Day in advance, and happy Players' Championship weekend. These are two of my favorite events, and two fantastic events related to the world of golf.
Oh, it's awesome. You know, you're based in Hollywood, in lovely California, and your show is Michigan's Big Show, right? And and you're on the road all the time. You could call it just about, you know, the international wanderlust show.
That's true. And if you were to see my golf bag, it is a golf bag from the Cape Arundel Golf Club in Kennebunkport, Maine.
Wow.
Because that's where the Bushes played golf. And I wrote a book called I Call Him Mr. President.
Yes.
A series of golf, fishing, and life with my friend George Herbert Walker Bush. Ken Rayner was his golf professional, and we wrote that together. But there's a head cover on that bag, and it's a Shamrock head cover, and it's been on there for 15 years now, I think. 15 years, and I've got it on the Big Island of Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
At
Mauna Loa? Mauna Loa? Could it be Mauna Loa?
Yeah, that's it. That's easy for you to say.
Yeah, you know, well, I've been here a while.
It's very symbolic of, it's of Ireland, but it really always makes me think about the Big Island when I look at it.
That's cool. That's really nice. Thank you. Because, you know, it's been so long since I've seen you. When was the last time you were here?
I was on Oahu, and we were over there at the, what used to be the JW Marriott, and I don't know if it's that anymore, but and we were sitting, you and I and Rick, and looking at the ocean, and
yes.
I came into the show, and I did the show in the studio that time, and that was really fun. It was a really, really fun day.
It was a long time ago.
Coalina.
Coalina.
Yeah.
The brain is functioning just fine. All right. So you are no longer on the West Coast where you're based. I mean, why do you even have a base? you are in Orlando. What are you doing in Orlando?
There's a resort here called the Balmoral Resort, and they've decided to host me for a big St. Patrick's Day bash. So I'm emceeing that in a few minutes, in fact. And they're going to have dancers and Irish comedian and music and fun and food. And so it'll be like a festival all day long. And the reason is this Balmoral Resort, which is owned by the Irish, and they have holiday homes. And so people who want to come to play golf nearby here at Ridgewood Lakes or at Southern Dunes, or maybe want to go to Disney World, or they want to come for spring training baseball, they can stay in their own 3-4-bedroom house with
wow.
their family and then go do all the fun stuff and come back and enjoy this holiday home resort. So because it's owned by the Irish, I am here, and that's what we're doing today.
That's great. Now, in addition to being the MC at this fabulous event, what else do you want to do in Orlando?
Me?
Yes.
Anyone that comes? Well, there's lots to do. There's plenty of golf to play if that's what you want to do. There's baseball at this time of year for another week until everybody goes back to the bigs. And if you wanted to go to TPC Sawgrass, you know, you would just go up the I-4 and turn left on 95, and you could be there and play where you're seeing on TV today. And the thing about that place is a great, great, great tournament, and I consider it to be a major. And
yes.
I know that's maybe people don't agree, but it's been there so long. It's the biggest purse, it's the strongest field, And that island green gets everyone's attention. The 18th hole also is a real iconic hole. And I think if you go there and you see, you know, it's the headquarters of the PGA Tour, and the clubhouse is like a palace, and that course is really fun. So to me, and it's available to everyone. It's not a private place like Augusta National where you can't go play. You can go to Sawgrass and make a real vacation of it in Florida. So I'm really happy about that. And if you wanted to come to Orlando and play at Bay Hill, you can do that too. It's a good stretch for the tour of Florida. Last week, Arnold Palmer's course, where his office was above the clubhouse, and you would see him playing all the time. You could really have a good trip of it in these two places.
Wow, I'm feeling nostalgic. That is a really good idea. And so you're going from Orlando to Miami, and then you're going to jet off to, or are you going to take a boat to Havana?
I am going to take a thing for the first time called the Bright Line, which is a speed train that connects Orlando to Palm Beach and then down into Miami. And I'll be at the Miami airport, Hilton Blue Lagoon, which is a much cooler, you know, when you say airport hotel. But it's really nice, and it's very convenient, and it's the gateway to the Americas. And it's right on the water and near the airport there. And then I'll hop down to Havana for a couple of days and then back for some more Miami fix. Actually, it's really near Doral, if you want to get nostalgic, too, another place that was historic on the PGA Tour. And that's near the airport there, and they played many years. Now it's Trump Doral.
Wow.
If, you know, speaking of Arnold Palmer and Bay Hill, there's one Ireland story that always cracks me up.
There's a
golf course he designed there called Tralee. And Tralee is right on the ocean, and it's just a roller coaster of a golf course. It's beautiful dunes, like some of the shots you look at and you say, geez, I don't even know if I can make that shot. It's fantastic and epic. And Arnold Palmer designed it, and the fella who was the golf pro there said, what did Arnold Palmer shoot on his own course? And he said, he's never seen it.
What? Wait a minute.
Yeah,
seriously?
Those were the days. But there is a statue of him there. Maybe he never made it, but there is a statue there.
So he designed the course and somebody else built it. He put it on paper?
Yeah, he had a design team. Of course, Ed C. was quite famous for being
the
right-hand man for things like that.
And right.
He was the king. He couldn't get everywhere, you know, I guess. But I always got a kick out of that. And you know, it happened in Portugal. I saw this one with my own eyes, Danielle, where it was a grand opening for Vila Moura, it was called. And I happened to be there. I was one of the only American golf writers who were there for the grand opening. And Palmer came out, and he went on the practice range, and he did an exhibition hitting some shots. And then he came up into the media room they created for a press conference, and he had a beer in front of him, and he sat down. Like, it was great. And one of the reporters asked, what is your philosophy on waste bunkers? And the king said, well, I think the name is exactly what they are. That it implies they're a waste. We, you know, it's hard for maintenance, and we shouldn't have them.
Right on.
Said, well, why did you put so many on the front nine then?
And
everybody gasped, and he looked up to the back of the room to his design team, and he said, "Well, we're going to have to do something about that." And this is on the day that it's opening.
Wow. Wow. when you say Arnold Palmer, he's just wonderful. I mean, I'm talking about him like when I saw him or heard him speak, or he would just walk up to you and say hi as you're passing. He was so, what's the word? Not cordial. Just engaging, you know. It was a
charismatic, for sure.
Yeah, that's the word.
Manly kind of way, you know, in a charming kind of a way, and authentic. He comes out of Pennsylvania, Latrobe, and I like the way Jim Nance referred to him at his eulogy, and he said he was the captain of our game. So that was an interesting way to describe him.
Yeah. He was, but he was a people person. You know, he really liked to meet people, and it didn't have. And he was just so, God, I was just, to me, he's still alive in my brain.
Yeah.
He's
well,
all,
that's where we're talking about him. So he is alive. And
yep, that's right.
And in those golf courses that he built, and the scores that he shot.
Yep.
And that's, we're getting nostalgic when we talk about golf, but that's how it is. It's a sport that inspires nostalgia.
Yeah.
And, and so when you do go to Ireland, and I hope you'll go, and I hope anybody listening will go, you'll have memories that'll last a lifetime on golf courses you won't even believe. And so when you think about St. Patrick's Day, think about places like Ballybunion or Waterville, or the original golf course there is called Mahinch.
La Hinge.
And then most often when you see the listing of top-ranked golf courses in the world, Royal County Down is number one amongst all of them. And the thing is, you can go there and play all these places. We have the Open Championship again this summer.
Yeah.
At Royal Port Rush.
Yeah.
For the second time in a short amount of time. And if you think there isn't magic, the fact that Shane Lowry won the first British Open in 50 years or so to be held in Ireland on an Irish course. I mean, that's a story that if you wrote that, you wouldn't believe it, but it really did happen.
Wow.
And Ireland is full of these epic seaside days that you'll go out and play golf, and it won't be a round of golf. It'll be an adventure. And you'll earn that pint of Guinness or whatever, Bushmills or Jameson you're going to have when you get back in the clubhouse for sure.
You have to tell me, I'm going to ask you again, what are you going to do in Havana?
Oh, I'm going to have some mojitos and hear some music and do a little bit of charitable work.
What's the charitable work?
Take in the culture. And, it's politically intriguing because in the final days of the Biden administration, he removed Cuba from the list of state sponsors of terror. And then a month later, when Donald Trump was elected, he put them back on the list.
Oh.
So it's just as frustrating to have a place that's 90 miles from Key West, a giant island that could be, you wouldn't have to have rolling blackouts like they have there and people who are starving. And it's really politically frustrating. And now Marco Rubio from Miami, of course, the Secretary of State, the former senator, is a Cuban-American. And he seems to take a hard line about it, too. So to me, it's frustrating. That they have one golf course there somewhere, but it could be so much more. And I know it seems complicated, but I wish some people could, attack that situation and open it up somehow.
Yeah, I agree with you. When you said you're going to, could you describe what you're going to do there for people?
Oh, there's a place called the Kempinski Hotel. It's Grand Manzana, which means Big Apple, ironically.
Okay.
The Big Apple Hotel is right across from the Cuban Capitol Dome, which if you were to look at it quickly, you'd say, oh, I'm in Washington. Because they built a dome that is a replica of that, kind of, in Washington, D.C. It was aspirational, and they made sure that they build it just a little bit taller than the one we have in Washington because, they're kind of a rival thing like that. So the Big Apple Hotel is across their Central Park, which is tiny. It's about the size of a par 3 hole. So you'll see American cars that were built 50, 60, 70 years ago, still running, and they're beautiful. And then I'm not sure how well they run, but they look good, and they're candy-colored Cadillacs and Buicks and Chevrolets. And so this fascination with America, and right next to that is a place called the Floridita, which is where the daiquiri was invented, the cradle of the daiquiri, it's called. And when you go in there, there's a plaque on the wall that says this has been selected the best bar in the world. And it's got the waiters in tuxedos, and there's live music constantly, no matter what time of day you go in there. And it's festive, and there's a statue of Ernest Hemingway, a life-size statue, and he's at the bar. It looks like he's leaning over the bar, and he's got a look of satisfaction on his face. Like,
wow.
He's smiling at me like he's like, kid, you did all right, and you got here. That's a good deal. And right behind his face in that statue on the wall is a real picture of Ernest Hemingway with Fidel Castro, because Hemingway lived there for a while.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's, if you're into that, there's the, you can go see his house, in which they have preserved. And I don't know, you know, you see my picture, you know what I look like. When I walked in there that day, there were some ladies who were working at the museum, and they yelled out, "Papa!" Because I got like that short white beard and that gray kind of short hair and a little bit stocky.
Oh, wow. That is.
It was so sweet.
Yes.
People are just fantastic. They're really, really, really sweet, and they endure, and they love to see people when we can get there. And you can do it. I mean, from Miami, the flight is $300 round trip.
Wow.
Just a quick little flight on Delta Airlines, and the other airlines have capacity too. And you have 12 reasons to choose, and the one that I choose is called Support of the Cuban People. And so you can do it if you want to. And you know, it's worth doing. You can go to the Museum of the Revolution, and you'll see some surprising things in there about the perception of the history between the U.S. and Havana. So, yeah, it's an interesting week for sure, quite a diverse week for me, and hopefully all my readers and listeners, too, when I'm done with it.
Yes, thank you very much. Support the Cuban people. That's great. Thank you so much. I wanted to, you know, your mom is so cool. She's a huge, wonderful fan. And will you say hi for me, please? She loves you. I mean, she anything that's on Facebook, or she's always there liking it. You know, she's like your stalwart. You know, it's just awesome. It really is.
Actually, she came here and met me. She's in Orlando with me right now, and so I will tell her.
Yes.
And one of my favorite things that came out of that Pro Tour Hawaii situation was that while I was there, my parents came to visit. That was their first and only time to come to Hawaii, and they got to come to the Big Island, and we went up to the top there to the observatory.
Yeah.
And went to the beach, and we did all sorts of fun stuff. Oh, went to see the volcanoes, and we went to the painted church.
Yes.
And they had just a marvel. They had like another honeymoon, even though I was there. So, yeah, that was really special.
That is. Okay, and one last question. I know I'm just ringing you out here. that red hat, I saw a picture of you. You're wearing a red hat. Do you know, I mean, how could you have more than one red hat? Where did you get it?
Was that the red fedora?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I got lots of bags of tricks for costumes. And in fact, just 2 days ago, I had to wear a costume because I was a contestant on Let's Make a Deal with Wayne Brady. And that's another thing I recommend. If you're going to go to California and you're going to go to Hollywood,
yes,
check out either The Price is Right or Let's Make a Deal even more. It's way more fun because you do have to wear a costume, but there is a strong chance that you will participate in the show because the audience is small.
Okay.
And they spread it around. So lots of people have a chance to win at least a little something.
Okay.
And you will certainly be on camera because it's a tiny little group, and you'll shoot two shows, and they give you lunch, and you'll have a really, really fun time. It's like a real party, that show. And Wayne Brady is very funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you'll see it. It'll air. This episode that I was on will probably air in about 2 months.
Oh, you have to let me know when.
Yeah, and it doesn't cost a thing. The first time I went on, I did it twice. I lost, and so they let me come back. Because if you win, you have to take 3 years off, I think, or something like that. So
okay.
Wayne Brady and I had a showdown again the other day. I'm not allowed to say what happens until after it airs, but
okay.
It's a rematch.
A rematch.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You lost the last time, but you're in the fight still.
Yeah. And luckily, believe it or not, the game I had to play had to do with travel. So I lucked out a little bit.
Wow. I've got my money on you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And look at all these opportunities. We've invited you to come to Ireland. We've invited people to go to the TPC Sawgrass,
yes,
Bay Hill.
Yes.
We've invited them to go to Let's Make a Deal. Put all this on your list, and you'll have a pretty busy bucket list. We don't call it that, though. We call it a wander list.
Oh, I like that. Like wanderlust.
Yeah.
Only it's a list.
It was invented by Virtuoso Travel.
I like it.
Virtuoso Travel, they'll help you plan it all.
You see why this Michael Patrick Shields is my travel guru extraordinaire? It's true. You're just amazing.
Thank you.
And if you go to Travel Tatler at the A position, you'll see his photos and what he says about all of his destinations, whether it's Ireland or Las Vegas or the Motor City or Havana, Cuba, or any of the 35 countries and countless visitor destinations around the world. You are the consummate globetrotter with a taste for the finer things. Who wrote this? This is... Thank you.
Well, finer things has a broad definition, and Hawaii certainly is in that list. And so I can't tell you how much I appreciate talking to you on the greatest holiday weekend of all, St. Patrick's Day.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it slipped my mind. I wasn't going to say so, but thank you, because now I get to celebrate and have a little toast this evening.
That's right.
Yes.
Have a pint and think of me.
I will. Thank you, Michael Patrick Shields, for being inside the clubhouse. You're wonderful.
Cora Mahagat, and I'll speak to you in the Irish and say, Slánga fóill, Pog Mahon.
Thank you. I'm sure that means something very nice.
Oh, if you only knew what that meant.
Help. Aloha, Michael Patrick.
Aloha.
We're going to come back. Mark Rolfing is at the Players. Yes, and you probably or may have seen him on television. He's going to join us right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
All right. You know what? We've got rain. We've got a little bit of sun that's going to come after the rain. Actually, we're going to get a lot of sun after the rain. And then we're going to have a whole lot of growth. It's just going to grow, and everything's going to get taller. And you're going to say, I just mowed the lawn, and I don't... Well, how about getting your very... Oh, excuse me. All of a sudden, I had to sneeze. And I wasn't able to tell Nani, I've got a sneeze coming. Nani, help me. Okay, it's Aloha Power's Rainy Day Riding Mower Sale. And we have specials in every size. So, you know, all that growth, you can take care of it. That's right. And you can weed it. You can whack it, you can bag it, and then you'll be done. Because the riding mowers, from the landscaper to the homeowner size, are there for you. So you can get one. You don't have to worry about, you know, I'm talking about riding mowers. No, this is also a wonderful mower that does so much, makes it so easy, so you don't hurt your back, and you feel comfortable, and you still got energy after you've gone out there and tackled the growth. You want them? Well, we've got them. You can get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment, open Monday through Saturday at Evile. Of course, it's right next to the Costco gas station. You can't miss it. And then there's the one in Waipahu. We can take you on a ride down Farrington Highway. You're heading west because you're coming from the south side. You know, and you're traveling along and you're looking on the left and you see, oh, there's Waipahu Depot Street. That's where Aloha Power is. But then you're going past it, because if you make a left, there's a gate, and it just go one block, make the U-turn, come down, and there's Aloha Power on the right, and you're facing the direction home after you've picked up your riding mower. Indeed, you're going to have a great time. Thank you very much.
If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
The golf club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the golf club with Danielle Tucker.
Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, commentator, analyst, Kapalua Golf Marketing Director. He does everything, and he's a member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame and DePaul University Hall of Fame. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you. I wish I was in the clubhouse right now. I'm out here on the 17th hole at the Players' Championship, and it is blowing 30 miles an hour. It's going to be a wild afternoon out here.
Wow. Wow. This, because the Players, this tournament, I mean, it brings back the ratings. I just want to watch it the whole time.
That's because you know it, and you recognize the holes, and you know what can happen out here, this 17th hole, you know, which is a shorty. It's only 135-yard hole, but you know, whether you like it or not, it's something that people recognize. And every year they know when they come here, they're going to have to figure out how to hit that shot at 17. And I think this has become one of the most watched golf telecasts of the year. The ratings have been phenomenal, and I expect great ones again this week.
Right on. We are KORL, Waianae, Honolulu. And Mark, it's sold out. All the tickets are sold out for today. Parking is it's phenomenal how the fans respond.
It really is. You know, this is my, I don't know how many, I guess I first started coming here, Danielle, in 1988. It was right after this stadium course had been built, and I was just amazed at how big the whole place was. And now, you know, even though it's sold out and everything else, there's still great places on every hole to watch golf, because that's what they built here. They built a spectator-friendly course. And this area, we just got off the air. I've been on the air for 4 hours here on Live from the Players' Championship on Golf Channel, and we are right in the middle of the big hospitality area at number 17. And it's just absolutely crazy. And it's one of the favorite spots of the year for me in golf. On Wednesday here, they had a caddy closest to the hole. I mean, there wasn't even a tournament going on. There was a closest to the hole for the caddies. And Colin Morikawa's caddy made a hole-in-one. J.J. Jakubowicz made a hole. The place went absolutely nuts for a caddy hole-in-one. It was great. That's one of the reasons why I love this championship.
Yes. I was talking with someone earlier who said it should be a major.
Well, you know, there's always that talk. You know, and part of me says maybe it should be the fifth major, but you know, I'm kind of an old guard sort of guy. There's only four major championships in my mind. You don't have to say this is the fifth major in order for it to be the fifth most important golf tournament in the world, which it is.
Yeah.
This is the fifth best and most important golf tournament in the world. So I think it can stand on its own, and I don't really believe it needs that designation as the fifth major to be, you know, as important as it's going to be as time goes on.
Right on. Right on. I agree with you. I think it stands alone. right? And people were asking him in the media, you know, why wouldn't he talk to people at Arnold Palmer Invitational? What was going on with that?
Well, basically what happened was after Sunday's round at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, Morikawa had gotten beat, and he refused to talk to the media on Sunday night. He said he was mad and didn't want to talk. And as you know, we have a set there on live from the Arnold Palmer Invitational that we had. Even Russell Henley came on the set. Now, he was the champion, so it was a lot easier for him to do it.
Right.
But, you know, a couple of people, including Brando Sambly, who I was on with the Sunday night show, were pretty critical of Colin not doing that and felt like, you know, he had an obligation to talk to the media. Now, that was Sunday night. We were down in Orlando. And I thought maybe it would kind of just fade away and not be a big issue. But at his press conference here in Jacksonville or Bonavita Beach on Monday, he kind of doubled down and said, look, I don't owe you guys, the media, anything, which was not the correct thing to say. He certainly shouldn't have used those harsher words. And it started to become a little bit of a war of words between he and Brando Sambly and Paul McGinley and really the media as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, I think Colin is going to end up regretting it because the fact is these guys make a lot of money. And they're making more and more all the time, and that money is coming from NBC and the Golf Channel, frankly, most of it, or CBS or other partners that basically buy the rights to this. And so when we get blown off and can't give the viewers what they want, which is they wanted to know what Colin Morikawa was thinking after that round or what happened or what his feeling was. And I think I'm of the opinion that, yes, he should have talked to the media. And I hope it doesn't become a trend. More and more we're seeing it where the golfers seem to be kind of feeling a little bit like they don't have any kind of an obligation to make themselves available. But the fact is they do. They really do. And if you look at sports in general and the sports where you have the biggest global reach, like the NBA, it comes from access to the players. You know, the NBA players before the games for the hour of warmups are doing nothing but talking to fans. And you know, Steph Curry's warmup the hour before an NBA game is phenomenal. What he does, he's an entertainer that whole time. Golf is not that way. These guys are by themselves out on the range, trying to figure out their little low draw. And nobody gets to kind of be a part of it. So we got to pick the times when we can make the players available to the media, to me, as much as possible.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, the players talking to the media, they're not talking to the media. They're talking to the media is a conduit to the fans. The fans want to hear what, you know, the fans of Colin Morikawa want to hear him talking. And the only way to hear that is through the microphone of the guy who's asking the questions. You know, they got to get their ducks in a row.
It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, I mean, Morikawa, I would have thought, would let this thing die. I really thought he would, but he seems to want to keep taking on, particularly Brando, in this thing. And, you know, Brando was on live from last night, and I thought he had a pretty good comeback discussion. But the fact is, these guys should not be doing this, period. They still shouldn't be arguing about it 5 days, you know, after the incident occurred back in another town at another tournament.
Yeah, no, and, you know, how else are we going to find out about Colin Morikawa or any of them? I mean, you know, speaking of the perfect, Rory McIlroy speaks to his fans through the media, and that's what we want to hear. And he's all, even when he's not having a good day, I don't know of him ever saying, no, I don't have to talk to you. And Tiger Woods, you know, didn't he always address the media? I don't know.
Yeah, he did. Rory's the absolute best. Rory McIlroy has become the best soundbite in the game.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are now saying, wait, why is everybody, you know, sort of all talking about how great Rory McIlroy is now when, in fact, he hasn't won a major in 10 years? Well, the fact that everybody's saying it shows me that Rory is giving the fans what they want.
Yeah.
What they want from him is access, and they want to hear what he's thinking, and they love his commentary on the world of golf and live golf and,
yep.
You know, all of the issues. And sometimes he's changed his mind. Sometimes he's said things probably that he wished he wouldn't have said, but the fact is he's been very accessible, and I think to me that's the model we want to see.
But you still picked, yeah, you're absolutely right. He's the model we want to see. And the fact that he comes back and says, you know, even after he said something he maybe shouldn't have said, he comes back to the table. He's just down-to-earth kind of guy, you know. He's from the UK.
Correct.
They're all down-to-earth, not really. But, what are we going to do? You picked Colin Morikawa, didn't you?
I did, and the reason I picked Morikawa is because he is, I think, the best iron player in the game, and that is the most important element here at this golf course.
Okay.
Rory, who is the best driver I have ever seen, in all my years, 40 years of doing this, Danielle, I've never seen anybody drive the golf ball as well as Rory McIlroy drives it. But you come to a place like the TPC Sawgrass that is totally neutralized. He can only hit driver on a few of the holes out here today,
wow.
Especially when it gets really windy. So his driver is kind of neutralized here a little bit, whereas Morikawa, it puts even more pressure on a player's iron game. The strokes gained approach stat here is the most important stat of the week, and that's where Morikawa is the best, and that's why I picked him.
Right on. And I just hope that he gets that chip off his shoulder, because it's an ugly thing. You know, it's not, you don't want that. You don't want to have that reputation. And he's a nice kid from what I can say that. I'm a grandmother. Us old people. Oh, dear. Are there parties after? Are you going to go straight to the hotel and say goodnight?
No. You know, I pretty much have to watch the night show.
Ah, yes.
Because our morning shows, we come on in the morning at 10 o'clock. So I'll be on again tomorrow from 10 to 2. And I have to know what was said on the show that had just aired the night before.
Sure.
So that I don't either say the same exact thing that Brandel Chamblee and Paul McGinley said, or I don't say something that's completely opposite of what they were saying or thinking. So,
yeah.
You know, kind of part of the job here for me is to watch the night show. That's what I'll do. I'll go watch a little live golf and watch the night show, and then come back for 4 more hours tomorrow morning, and then get on a plane and come back to Hawaii. Yahoo!
Got to ask, I forgot to. How strong are the winds going to blow?
You know, they're talking about gusts up to 35 miles an hour. They're going to make some of the holes really hard, and some of the holes, you know, quite a bit easier than normal, but it's going to be a factor here like we haven't seen in a couple of years. There's no doubt about it. It's been pretty calm conditions the last couple of years, but these next 2 days are going to be tough. And there's going to be a front come in tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised to see him actually move the tee times up, because tomorrow afternoon by about 3 o'clock, they're talking about some pretty heavy rain. So I could see him teeing off early to see if they could get in the round before then.
That's something, because, you know, I hear the wind blowing on your microphone, so I totally understand what you're talking, 30 to 35, and then it rains on top of that later. Yeah, I'd want to get out as early as possible. Can I tee off at 5?
Yeah, you can play one hole, see how you do here at 17. How about that?
Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. Looking forward to our next conversation. Thank you for taking the time, and your schedule is incredible.
All right. Take care, Danielle.
Aloha. Thank you. Aloha. Okay, we have to thank the people who make this show possible. And of course, it's Aloha Power's Rainy Day Riding Mower Sale. We have specials in every size of the mower. So for the homeowner or for the, you know, the person taking care of a golf course, or you have this huge property behind you and it's just growing, you've got to, you know, you've got to take care of it, right? You don't want that to happen. You don't want it to become so difficult. So weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it, you're done. Riding mowers, from landscaper to homeowner. You want them? Yep, we've got them. Get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment, open Monday through Saturday. The only day they have off is Sunday. At Evile, next to the Costco gas station, and of course, in Waipahu. And going down Farrington Highway, look for Waipahu Depot Street, and you'll see that Aloha Power Equipment sign, just big and bright, just like you can see the one right here in Honolulu in Iwile. And the Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks and shopping centers and businesses and hotels since 1939. And, you know, they can't find you without your sign. Funny about that, yeah? You're driving down the road. You know how frustrating it is. You can't, you know, what, the address? I'm looking for an address. There's no addresses. You know, you can't ever find an address on a building. So you got to put the sign up there so people can see it. And the Aloha section, PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. For self, for health, for friendship, go golf. Oh, by the way, it's really good for your body too. You know, the walking, you get your steps in. Have you thought about that? It's really good for you. All right, I want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.